earth shakes. The darkness falls, the Father hides his face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory, a bursting from the grave, my risen King. Yeah. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. You won it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you. Thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you, thank you. For the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life and your death, for the hope that's still ahead, we sing thank you, thank you. For the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead, we sing thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. Thank you for the cross.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief.
I raise a hallelujah.
gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Hey. I raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am a witness to darkness flee.
Hey.
I raise a
hallelujah.
In the middle of the mystery,
I raise a
hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise.
Death is defeated.
The King is alive.
I'm gonna sing
in the middle of the storm.
Louder and louder.
You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes.
Death is defeated.
The King is alive. Sing a little louder.
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 Hallelujah. Well, good morning and happy Easter. We are delighted you're here with us. Welcome, as we say, welcome home. If you don't have a church home, or you don't have a church home and you're away from home, we want to be that, and we just say welcome home. This is a no judgment zone. This is a place of grace, and we just really want to help and be a part of God's work and awaken your heart to Him. That's why we're here. And so it's okay not to be okay. It's okay if you're new to this or you don't even know where to be. And as you're still scrambling around, it's okay to let you know that the front is open. Even with the breeze behind me, I won't hit you. All right? You're welcome to come sit closer up front. It's the same price. Just a public service there. Hey, we really are. We love the opportunity to be able to serve and come alongside with you, and let's make that journey together to Jesus. And well, we love to recognize your presence with us here. And if you were so privileged to get a bulletin, in that bulletin is a connection card. You can be so kind to fill it out. We love to recognize your presence here. You can also, those online, please let us know on Facebook or on our website, hopeonthebeach.com. It'd be great to be able to recognize you here too. But we're here to celebrate the greatest event of all, the resurrection of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So let's do that. Let us rise. And if you want to open up your worship folder, or maybe you are well versed in this, but this is just our simple awareness that we recognize that Christ is here. He's alive and He's speaking to us. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You can find the lyrics in the first page of the bulletin. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison door, He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah! There's joy in the house of the Lord. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. My God still rolling stones away. Hallelujah! There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. But we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. Cause we were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Do you believe it? We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is shouting your praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough.
You came along. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. My failures implode. If you see them all, still call me free.
Oh,
it's
the God of the valley. Hallelujah. Oh, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who dares. You turn God is. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. Only one who cares.
Nothing better than you, Lord.
Come on, one more time. Here we go.
Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing.
Hallelujah.
And so, Lord, on this day, we lean into that truth. And that not just what we know, but it draw us to you, open our hearts and minds to your amazing truth and life. And I welcome you. You may be seated. For those on the side, you're like in an airplane. You're in that exit row. In case of emergency, you might be asked to move. Just want to let you know over there, okay? Appreciate you. You walk and open up and you follow in your outline if you have it. If you want to go to hopeonthebeach.com, you can scroll down. You'll see a place. It says bulletin. You can click on it and you can follow along that way also in the message today. Some of you walked here today carrying more than you expected. I'm not just talking about the chairs, but what's on the inside. Fatigue. Disappointment. The quiet sense that something in life isn't delivering the way you thought it would. And if you're honest, you have been trying to make it work. Hoping maybe this time it'd be different. But here's the tension. Deep down in your soul, you already know. But some of the things we keep going back to don't actually give life. And that's where Easter meets us. Not with a suggestion, not with some inspiration, but with a question that cuts right through us to the heart. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because if Jesus really rose from the dead, then this is not just comforting news. It's confronting news. It means some places, some of the places that we are looking for life are already dead. And it means real life is found somewhere else. So I invite us to listen in to what happened on that first Easter morning recorded by Luke. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. And they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seem to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Well, number one, exhausted but still attached. Exhausted but still attached. On that first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, carrying the spices. They loved Jesus. But they were not expecting him to be alive. They had heard him say, for sure, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be killed, and on the third day be raised. They knew those words. They heard those words of Jesus. But they didn't trust those words of Jesus. And so they brought spices for a dead man. And if we're honest, that's not just their story. It's ours. We are exhausted. Not just exhausted from being busy, but exhausted to the point in our soul. And here's what exhaustion often turns into. It doesn't turn into just tiredness, but a quiet disappointment. Not loud, not dramatic, just a steady undercurrent, undertow. I thought life would feel different by now. We thought life would have less noise in it. The other voices wouldn't have an effect on us. It would have less outrage, less pressure to keep up, and less of that constant feeling that life should be working better than it is. And for some, this exhaustion has been building up for years. And it's not just from the culture, but from life. Disappointments. Things didn't turn out the way you thought, the way you wanted. The losses start to stack up. Lost people and things you didn't plan for. Prayers that felt like went unanswered. Like you could spend your whole life, and many have, in climbing that ladder. And you get to the top. And you're like, is this it? And yet, we're still attached. We still go back. We're still thinking, maybe it will work this time. It's going to be different. Let me say this carefully. Some of the things that we stay attached and keep going back. Don't even look sinful. They look responsible. They look successful. They even look spiritual. But if they are where you're looking for life, they still leave you empty. Like, you can build a great career and still feel hollow. You can raise a good family and still feel restless. You can serve in a church and still feel spiritually dry. Because none of these were meant to be your source of life. So let me press in just a little bit here. Not to shame you, but to wake up your soul. What is the thing you already know that doesn't give life, but you keep going back to anyway? It's a lot like that drawer in your house. You know the one. You might have more than one, but it is the junk drawer. You open it and it's full of cords, chargers from phones you don't even own anymore. Some of them age back to the flip phone. Some you're like, I still have those, just in case. You never know. I mean, none of them work, but you don't throw them away. Why? Because somewhere in the back of your mind, you think maybe it still works. And so you try again, and you'll twist it, and you'll hold it at different angles, and you'll just get it just right. I mean, to the point where, like, you hold your breath. Like, that's going to affect it. And, like, for a second, you see the light of hope come on, and you're like, there, it works, I knew it. And then it dies again. See, and whether you're 25 or 75, that's what we do spiritually. We keep plugging into things that have already proven they cannot give life. At best, a moment, and it's gone. And what is crazier is that we don't abandon them. We don't abandon these dead things. We revisit them. We manage them, we organize them, we even label them. Like something better organized will bring it back to life. Here's the crazy thing. Number two, we know it's dead, but we keep going back. Jesus once said to a man who had everything the world could offer, he had it all. He's young, rich, powerful, everything. And Jesus said, the one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And as the story goes, the rich man couldn't. And the scripture says he returned to his life and he was sad. Look, we don't just return to what doesn't work. We return to what we wish would work. We so desperately want the world to work, because if the world would work for us, that would let us be in charge. That would let us have control. That would let us have that independence we so long for. That would let us just, well, to be our God. And that would let the you... to do you. But don't miss this. In that moment, not when life is obviously broken, but when life looks full, and it still isn't, in that exact moment where you're tired, but you're still attached to what doesn't work, God speaks. Not to shame, not to crush you, but to wake you up. And he says, why do you seek the living among the dead? That question assumes two things. The first thing is that you're searching for life. You know you need it and you're searching for it. But also assumes the second thing. You're looking in the wrong places. And this has been the human struggle of old. God's chosen people, the Israelites, man, he put his might on display. He rescued them from the strongest nation, delivered them, brought them to a promised land, provided for them over and over and over again, showed his goodness and mercy and grace. And yet, what do we see the prophet Jeremiah saying? The words of God, his heart grieving for his people. He says in chapter 2, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, the God of abundant life that is always flowing, overflowing to us. And what they do? And they hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They abandoned, they left the place of life and went to their own makings of things that are dead and cannot hold the water, the giving of life. And the Apostle Paul notices the same thing later on in Romans. He says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And this is why we struggle. Because we do the same. We know it's empty. But we keep going back. Approval didn't satisfy. But we check again. We scroll again looking for it. Success didn't secure us. But we chase it more. It will when it gets bigger. I get higher. I just got to get to the next level. Then it will secure me. Only to get there and be even more insecure. Comfort didn't heal us. And we doubled down on comfort. Oh, we just need a greater vacation. We just more luxury. Then we'll feel comfortable. See, America's answer is more, bigger, better, faster. And that's what will make it work this time. And we keep running on the gerbil wheel, getting nowhere. Because we're honest. I mean, where are you still going back? Where are you still thinking, maybe this time it will work? See, the world is exhausted, but it keeps trying to get life out of things that are already dead. And here's what's extraordinary. God doesn't ignore it. He confronts it. Number three, there's a divine confrontation. The angels don't say, hey, we understand, you're just confused, you're a little tired, you're sad, and you know, you don't make your best decisions when you're sad and you're confused. You know, if you just have more time and you rest, you'll get it, you'll find it eventually. No, the angels, what do they say? Why? Why? Why are you looking for life in a graveyard? And that sounds a little cruel and judgmental, but it's not. It's mercy. Because burnout's not random. Burnout's what happens when you try to get life out of something that cannot give life. See, we don't just sin by doing wrong things. We sin by trusting in wrong things. By asking the created things to give us what only the Creator can give. Luther says anything you look for life apart from Christ is your God. And the bad news is it can't save you. And so Easter doesn't leave us there in a ditch. Easter is a divine confrontation because it's trying to wake us up from ending up dead in a ditch and bring us to life. Because there is one who gives life. And the one who can save us is Jesus. The angels say, number four, he is not here, he is risen. This is not a feeling. This is not a perspective. This is a fact. Paul writes it. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. You're dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. They're first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That but changes everything. In fact, Paul says what it changes in Romans 4. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The tomb is empty whether you believe it or not. But if it's empty, everything changes. The resurrection is not just a miracle, it's God's verdict. For you, your sin and the punishment from your sin that you rightly deserve is paid in full. Your sin is forgiven. Death is defeated. You're not saved because you figured it out. You're not saved because you let go of all your idols perfectly. You are saved because Christ walked out of the tomb. See, that same resurrection that confronts us is the same resurrection that confronts our pride but also carries your forgiveness. And that changes how we live. See, number five, the resurrection frees you from half-hearted faith. It frees you from playing a game, trying to have both ways. It frees you from clinging on to the dead. It frees you to life. And how to do it for the women? They remembered his words. That was the turning point. It wasn't the empty tomb. It wasn't how miraculously the stone was rolled away. It wasn't the angels that were incredible. It was his words. And they trusted what he said. And what did they do? They ran back to go share it. They immediately ran to go tell others. This is what Christians have been doing with the great news. They leave the dead and run with the good news. The Hebrew writer says in 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The women, you cannot cling to dead things and run the race of faith. You can't have it both ways. And yet, what do? As Christians, we struggle because we still try to have both. Because it's a just in case. Just in case this doesn't work, or just in case I don't feel like it's working, or it's not working fast enough, it's not working the way I want it to work, so I go to these other things, hoping that this time that will work, or that will get me out of it, and make it quicker, make it better. And what do? The weight that Christ has taken off of us, we just put it right back on. And we keep on struggling, exhausted, because we're attached to things that are dead. See, the resurrection, what does it do for you? The living word of God? A, free to see greater things. God's grace in our life and the power of His Spirit, what does it do? It takes a hold of us. He's the author. He's the founder, the perfecter of our faith. It's His work in us that then loosens the grip that we have on the world, these dead things, and opens them to take hold of Christ. Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Christ has freed you by His grace, by His work on the cross. You have been justified, free to no longer just be stuck trying to manage life, trying to manage the tension of living with the things of this world and with Christ. You're free to live in Christ. So often, it's like someone who's been sleeping in a broken down house. A new home has already been given to them, brand new home. But they keep going back, checking on the old place, sitting in the old chair, living like nothing's changed. And Easter says, you have a new address. Stop going back. See, number 6, Jesus did not rise to be your backup plan. He rose to be your Lord. To be your Lord. The resurrection is not an opinion to consider. It's a fact that confronts us. And the thing that confronts us that makes Easter so offensive is that these things around us are not options. Jesus coming this Easter is not one of options. It's not just in case. It's not just, hey, this is a good suggestion for your life. It is the only way. And it's Jesus and Easter that announce He is King and Lord of all. Not a just in case. Jesus said to him in Luke 9, no one who puts his hand to the plow, looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, before you recoil on that a little bit, let me help explain this. What good parent who brings their family to the beach and has one of their kids who gets out playing in the water, gets taken to the undertow, and it starts going out, and there is a huge rescue that takes place to rescue them and brings them back safely, then says, well, you were safe. If you want to go back out and play like you did before and not care about the undertow, you just go right ahead. No good parent would do that. Because a good parent knows they want to protect their child. Your heavenly Father is a good parent. And He's not just trying to protect you physically or emotionally, but He's trying to protect you spiritually. He knows you're not going to be perfect, but He also knows, man, He's got to put a warning there to you. He's got to try to wake you up and say, don't look back. Don't be like in Proverbs, a dog that returns to its vomit. Stay away from dead things. Keep your hand on the plow, and I will lead you and guide you and protect you. I'm the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep that they can have green pastures and they can be led and protected from those that want to devour them. See, anything you look at for life apart from Christ will eventually ask you to carry what it cannot give. What you look for and go to that's dead, that is giving that little spark of life, will eventually trap you. Will eventually then, besides it serving you, you will end up serving it. And it will lead you into that path of greater darkness and death. That's why Jesus is calling us. And he's so direct. Don't even glimpse back. Don't even give a little bit of your heart to it. Shut the door and go forward. This is why he says, verse 7, says, seek his kingdom, not the grave. Seek the kingdom, not the grave. Peter runs to the tomb. He looks in. He sees a linen cloth and he marvels. He marvels. He's astonished. Jesus did what he said he would do. What do we marvel at? We marvel at watching the rocket go to outer space. Maybe we marvel at watching the NCAA basketball college games and the highlights. And we say, man, how does that work? How do they do that? That's just amazing. We know it's real, it happened. We just kind of marvel at it because it's beyond us. We know it's true. We just don't think it's really, it doesn't really seem true, though, to me. I think we treat Easter that way. Even God's word of promise the same. Like, it's true. There's amazing stories of Scripture and Jesus resurrecting. It's true. I know what happened. I kind of marvel at it. But I just don't think it's for me. It's beyond me. And maybe that's fear. Perhaps doubt. Or it's shame. Because we just know our sin too much. We just think we're not worthy. And we get like Peter, that hears the good news, believes the good news, marvels at the good news, and we just don't think it's for us, and we go home. And the good news is, Jesus doesn't leave you there. Jesus goes to Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? And feed my sheep. Peter, Jesus comes to us and he calls us again through his words. He intervenes. And what he's saying, wake up. Move away from the dead. The old dead ways, and trust me. Believe in me. Rest in me. This is why God, again, in the midst of worry and our struggles and pains and anxiety over life, what does he say? He says, look, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Look, you want to get rid of this worry? You want to get rid of these dead things cleaning you? Seek first. Trust in me. Believe in me. Rest in me. Like, don't just marvel at it. Act on it by faith. God called us from our last church we planted, and it was going really well and everything, and God said, hey, I'm calling us to plant another church. And so we stepped out of that church, but when we stepped out, that other plant wasn't there yet. And so we went through a huge struggle, had to try to find new jobs and all these things, and of course they made less, and it was a big struggle. We have 3 kids. Trying to say where we're going to go, what are we going to do. And my mother-in-law from Florida came up, Christy's mom, to check on us, to try to comfort us and help us. And when she was there, she saw the struggles, and she's like, I want to cook you a special meal and just try to have a special time and kind of get comfort like a mom would and love on us. But it snowed that day, and we were at work, and she doesn't drive in the snow for good reason. But God touched someone who bought the exact groceries she wanted for the meal and put them on the doorstep. That's one of so many stories I could tell you of what God has done in our lives, from a house to a church to colleges and everything else. See, God desires you to marvel at how much His Word is not just true, but true for you. And I'm sure if you pause and start writing it down, you start to see it. See, He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust and rest in Him. See, the tomb doesn't hold Jesus, and it doesn't hold your life anymore either. Jesus, the resurrection says, Jesus says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. What Jesus said, look, I keep my word. The women remembered His words, and they trusted His word. And where does the risen Jesus meet people? Not at the grave, not at their effort, not in their searching. He meets them in His living word right now. Right here. Jesus say, hey, you don't have to go find me. I'm here in the word. And the same voice that said, He's not here, He has risen, is speaking to you and calling you. Not to manage your life. Not to fix yourself, but to believe in Him, trust in Him, and rest in Him. So you stop going back to what I could give you life. You stop searching for life where it can't be found. And you stop keeping all your little backup saviors just in case of that emergency. Because Jesus rose from the dead not to be your backup plan, but to be your only plan, to be your Lord. And as Lord, He has the authority, and He speaks, and He calls, and He forgives, and He gives life. Today, through His Word, He is seeking you. He's confronting you. And comforting you with the truth that gives you life. With the truth that says, Christ has died for your sins. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ is Lord. Easter is not a feeling we just celebrate. It is a victory we live under. And the question is not, do you like it or not? The question is, will you believe it? Because faith works this way. Romans tells, faith comes from hearing. And right now, through His Word, Jesus is not distant. He's present right here in your heart. You don't need to open. He's there already. And He's stirring. And He's offering forgiveness, life, and salvation. And so there's two responses today. You can reject it. And you can just walk and keep going back to what cannot give you life. Or by the work of the Holy Spirit, you can say yes to the Lord. Not try to fix yourself, not try harder, just say, yes, I need you, I trust you, and I believe what you have done and what you have said, your word, your promises are for me. That my sin is not greater than your grace. Never. Let's pray. God, I thank you for not leaving us left alone and abandoned to our own resources, our thoughts, our own desires that will mislead us. The lies that so inform us and shape us. But you continue to be a God who is gentle. I mean, gentleness is the all-powerful God who uses just the right amount of power and strength to come and touch us, that we may know your truth and your love. That despite our wanderness, despite our going back to dead things, you keep coming, the fountain of life, the living water, coming, offering us life. And so the response is simple. It's yes. And so, Lord, this is a time where we just turn back to you. And we repent. And we say, Lord, we're sorry for going to the wrong places. We're sorry for running and holding on to dead things. And we ask by the blood of Jesus Christ that you would forgive us and cleanse us, as your word says, that you promise to do, from all unrighteousness, to forgive and cleanse. It's a beautiful thing. God cleanses and washes away. God forgets our sins. So we forget. So we are free to live in an abundant life in grace. So that's your confession today. I want you to know that that is true for you. You are forgiven. And is that your first time you said yes? You are his child. And the Bible will say, follow up with that, with repent and be baptized. Because baptism, Peter says, now saves you. It's when God brings his gift of salvation, he secures it in the covenant of baptism with the water of his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. His work, his cleaning, his cleansing, his choosing us to be his. If you want to celebrate that and move in that way, please talk to me after the service. Love to talk and pray with you and walk that way. So, in response to God's who he is, we profess his faith together in the Apostles' Creed, the summary of the story of Christ, of our Father, of our God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We have an opportunity to continue to live out our faith together. And to worship, and that is to bring our tithes and offerings. And in your worship folder, there is that offering envelope, or you can use the QR code. Either one is a way to continue worship and to give your offerings and tithes to the Lord of just gratitude and thanks and praise for his living word and for his saving of us. And that work would continue, that mission would go on. Also, if you'd love to learn more about Hope, I just want to point you to one place. It's called the Lighthouse Dinner. It's a place to start. We'd love to be able to pour into you, walk alongside of you, and really help along with your spiritual life, your whole life. And so, man, if you'd like to learn more about what we are about and how you can connect in and get attached to places of love and grace and people that will walk beside you and opportunities to help grow, man, come to the Lighthouse Dinner. Well, again, we worship here all year round, as long as there's no rain or snow or sleet or anything like that. It's above 50 degrees. We're here, and usually we are at 9:20 at Chunk Gully. They're still in some renovations, and so we're at the beach, and then we'll be back at Chunk, and at 11 o'clock in our building. I'd love for you to continue along as we talk about what it's like to be a disciple in the next coming series, that you can be part of that and continue to grow in your faith. So with that, I invite you to rise as we continue our worship. As we do, the ushers will come around with buckets, and you can place your connection card and your offering in the bucket. Let us continue to worship our resurrected Lord. Oh, I forgot the Lord's Prayer.
The lyrics to this song are on the back page. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole world trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. For sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. This is our proclamation today. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you, Jesus. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Hallelujah!
The rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Oh, the Lord of all. The Lord of all.
Make his face shine upon you. You're welcome.